This afternoon, our first scripture reading is from Exodus chapter 3. We will read the whole chapter of Exodus 3. This is the story about Moses at the burning bush. He met God and he asked his name, and God answered, and God also sent Moses to bring his people from the Egypt. We are going to read from first verse of chapter 3. Again, this is God's holy word. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmakers, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land, that land, to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and said to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, to the land flowing with milk and honey. Then they will heed your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not even by your mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be, when you go, that you shall not go empty-handed, but every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians. Now, from the book of Exodus, we move to another book in the Old Testament, Numbers. Numbers 6. This is today's passage. Numbers 6, verse 22 to 27. Here is the Aaronical benediction. You have heard many times. I will focus on the last verse of chapter 6, verse 27. We are going to very focus on God's name in the benediction from the verse 27. But I'd like to read from verse 22 to 27. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Amen. In the year of 1560, the Scots Confession, the remarkable document for the Reformation, for the Church of Scotland, was written by John, and another John. Six Johns wrote this document. John also has been a popular name in old RP families, as I heard. With the same first name, John, we don't know who is who. However, John is John. Unlike the English name John, names may mean something. For instance, my name Namsik means planting an evergreen tree. And my wife Eun has the meaning of gold and silver. Likewise, in the biblical eras, the Hebrews in particular had meanings for their names. As you studied some books in the Old Testament, understanding the meaning of the names of the people in the Bible helped us to see and study God's word. What about the names of God? You shall notice that God's titles and names are too numerous to discuss them all in detail. Yet, this afternoon, I want you to focus on God's name regarding the benediction in Numbers 6:27. Where should we begin for today's study? At first, we will look at God's glory in His name. Our first heading is His glory in His name. Here, we will briefly study God's name in general and then focus on God's glory in His name. Before moving on, I'd like to give very brief idea about the benediction. What is the benediction? What does the sentence following, "People of God, receive God's benediction," mean? Is this benediction really like a school bell announcing that we are all done in our worship today? No. Let me give two thoughts about benediction in general. First, the origin of the word benediction is from Latin. Bene means well, and dicere to speak. So simply and directly, it means a good word, generally understood as blessings. So you are hearing good words or blessings during every public worship service. Second, the Directory of Public Worship in the RP testimony says, "Public worship should be concluded with a solemn blessing upon the saints." It is solemn blessing upon the saints. Okay, now let's look at today's passage with me again. Verse 27. "So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." After giving his instructions to Aaron and his sons on how to bestow the blessing for the Israelites, God proclaimed, "Priests, put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them who are my people." Listen carefully. God will put his name upon his people. What does that mean? When you look at the bulletin information for today's sermon, you might expect to study God's titles and names that describe God in his work and power. For example, El or Elohim, Yahweh, Adonai, and so on. It would be great to spend time to study God's name, and we will get there later this afternoon a little bit. But for now, I want to draw your attention to the word name itself. The word for name was occasionally employed as a sufficient representation in itself of God's title and name. One famous theologian, Louis Burkhoff, in his systematic theology says, "In such cases, the name stands for the whole manifestation of God in his relation to his people, or simply for the person, so that it becomes synonymous with God. The word name that God used is very related to the whole manifestation of God, especially in his relation to his people. Again, number 6, God says his name would be put upon his people. Putting his name upon his people is not something new. Do you remember any places in the Bible before the book of Numbers where God put his name upon his people? If you go to the Exodus 21, you will read that when God gave the law of the altar to Moses, he said, "An altar of earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you." And later on, during the time of a temple worship, God again pronounced his name upon Israel, especially in Jerusalem. 2 Kings 21:4, "And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, 'In Jerusalem will I put my name.'" 2 Chronicles 33:7, "In his house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever." Bearing the name of God means being with God and seeing his presence and glory. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit put his name upon his people. He manifested himself where his people called on him and worshiped him. God would be there where his name was placed. And there, in his presence, were his people whom he blessed. So the people whom God blessed would experience his presence and glory. Here, in Numbers 6:27, it is surely promised. However, bearing the name of God brings his people not only special privileges, but consequences as well if they dishonored his name. You might recall the third of the Ten Commandments. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Westminster Shorter Catechism, question number 54, asked, "What is required in the third commandment?" The third commandment requires the holy and reverent use of God's names, titles, attributes, ordinances, word, and works. And the larger catechism added, "And whatsoever else there is whereby he makes himself known." Do you know God's name, his ordinance? Do you know his word and the works which he has done? What he makes himself known through his general and special revelation should be holily and reverently used in thought, meditation, word, and writing, by unholy profession and answerable conversation, to the glory of God and the good of ourselves and others. It's from larger catechism. We should devotedly and reverently use whatever means by which God makes himself known, including his name. It is for the glory of God and the good of ourselves and others. That he put his name upon a person or people means not only God's presence and his brightest glory, but also their responsibilities and duties. The people who are blessed by God and bear his name should exalt his works, praise his name, and follow his way. Yet, here are negative examples. Jeremiah 23:27, who think to make my people forget my name. Jeremiah 34:16, but then you turned around and profaned my name. Ezekiel 36:23, and I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. The people who had known God's name, his titles, his attributes, his word, and his works turned away from God. The people who had seen God's presence and glory profaned his name. The people of Israel who had known God's name and had been blessed by him mocked his son, Jesus Christ, betrayed him, and profaned his name. They laughed at him who was God in flesh with the sign of a king of Judea. Jesus was the king of Judea indeed, and also the king of kings over all the nations. The people of Israel took his name in vain. Where does God put his name now? Where can you see God's presence and his glory now? Our second heading is his people with his name. His people with his name. In the passage of Aaronic benediction in Numbers 6, what is the subject? We can find it easily. The Lord, and the Lord. The Lord bless you, the Lord make his face shine upon you, and the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Unlike this, we should take a little time to consider the object of the benediction. Let's go back to today's text. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Many of you know what the Septuagint is. Have you ever heard the Septuagint? The Septuagint is the Bible translated into Greek from the original Hebrew for the Greek-speaking Jewish people. Interestingly, you will not find verse 27 of Numbers 6 in the Septuagint. Instead, verse 23 carries the contents of verse 27. I mean, there's no verse 27. You cannot find verse 27 in the Septuagint in Numbers 6. But they combined in verse 23. It sounds like this. Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless children of Israel. Say to them, so they will put my name on children of Israel, and I will bless them. I don't know exactly what the intention of the Septuagint is here to put two verses together, but you and I should easily understand what the object of Aaronic blessing is. The object is the children of Israel. Again, the children of Israel. Without preamble, let me ask you one question at this point. who are the children of Israel in the New Testament, who are the chosen people, who are called as a kingdom of a priest and a holy nation, who is able to have God's blessings bestowed on them, Jewish people in blood only, or are they the people who believe in Jesus Christ as the source of the blessing? Is it the nation of Israel that is to be called a holy nation, or is it the church being established by Jesus Christ? I think the whole chapter of Exodus 3 we read helps us with our topic for various reasons. I will talk about that a bit more in a few minutes, but you can see in Exodus 3 where God met Moses, who wrote the first five books of the Bible. Moses was the first person to record the name and title of God. Here, God's name was mentioned in conversation between God and Moses. What if people of Israel ask me, "What is your name?" What's your name? Listen to Exodus 3:15. God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations." Do you think this is referring only to Jewish people who were delivered by Moses, the shadow of Jesus Christ, or the descendant of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob? Or are you also children of Abraham, children of Isaac, and children of Jacob, who believe in Jesus Christ, who put his name on you? Through whom will God's name be remembered throughout all generations? Not the nation of Israel, which is the shadow of the church, but the people of God who believe and trust in him, show their perfect obedience to God's word, and gather in the house of God to worship him. Recall how Louis Berkhof explains God's name. As he says, the name stands for the whole manifestation of God in his relation to his people. His relation to his people. Yes, we are his people. The benediction communicates God's blessing to his people when he says, "So they shall put my name upon the children of Israel and I will bless them." We Christians receive the benediction by faith. God has already put his name upon us. Even linguistically, since the word Christian is derived from the word Christ. And spiritually, the name of Christ has already been put upon his people who are saved by his name. Listen, Acts 4:12. There is a salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We believe this truth. We believe in the name of Jesus Christ, which is the only name by which we must be saved. The Lord keeps us and guides us based on his love upon his people. Upon his people, that is you. He makes his face shine upon us. That is you. He shows his grace through the work of Jesus Christ. The grace of Jesus Christ makes us behold his bright face in righteousness. The Lord also gives us peace. The Prince of Peace promised the Holy Spirit, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit makes us keep that eternal peace. This is the idea of the benediction. The people who believe in this truth are ready to receive God's blessing. They are the object of His blessings. Now, we are heading to our last point for today's study. Our third heading is His mission with His name. His mission with His name. Under the third heading, I want to talk about God's mission through the people who hold His name. I hope we will make some application for our faith and life here. Imagine what you do after the benediction at the end of service. From RP testimony, the benediction is not a prayer of adjournment and should never become a mere formality for dismissing the congregation. The benediction is not a bell to dismiss a class. Yet it is obvious that you will be dismissed and leave this building. Then, where will you head? Probably you go home, take a rest, continue your practice of keeping the Lord's Day, and prepare to meet your agendas for the next week. You might go to work or school, or you may homeschool your children. As a worker, a student, a mother, a father, a neighbor, a friend, or a pastor, whatever your position, you all live your days in the world. But remember, you and I are Christians. Being and living as Christians is not a part-time job, but rather a full-time with no closing time. We live in this world as a full-time Christians who receive God's blessing and hold His name. Recall the scene of Exodus 3. What was God's answer given to Moses? Exodus 3:13-14. They ask me, "What is His name? What shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And He said, "Say this to the people of Israel, I has sent me to you." The one saying, "I am who I am," is the only one who created all things in heaven and earth and who is everlasting. The blessing should come only from someone who has almighty power. The blessing belongs to someone who creates, rules over, and sustains all things, including heaven and earth. So the blessing should come from the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That King, that Lord, sent Moses. Same Lord and same King. It's sending you and me into the world. The last action before you leave this building, where you worship God, sing psalms joyfully, and have great fellowship with the brothers and sisters in Christ, is to receive God's blessings. This is not the moment I share a nice energy bar with you for the week coming, but this is the moment you crave God's promise by faith in order that God will send you into the world for your job as a Christian. From gathering in the name of Jesus Christ, to being sent off with the name of the Lord. It is the time of the benediction. And the mission of the people who hold God's name is to live as Christians, proclaiming the name of Christ, which is the only name by which people must be saved. The mission of a Christian is to live as Christians who hold God's word and practice of holiness in this world. However, here is something you must bear in mind. Matthew 10:22. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. Matthew 24:9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. If you did not bear God's word and his name, it seems that the way of living would be comfortable in this world. On the other hand, you will face persecution and hardship in different ways for the sake of his name, if you bear his name and really care about his name. In spite of the fact that sometimes it seems like we take two steps forward and then one step backward, still we are moving forward. We keep pressing on. Back to the context of our passage, the Aaronic benediction was given to the children of Israel while they were in the wilderness. The title of Numbers in the Hebrew Bible is In the Wilderness or In the Desert. The very last verse of this book says, these are the commandments and the judgment which the Lord commanded the children of Israel by hand of Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. People who were on their journey in the wilderness needed the God's blessings all the time. They had no idea what would happen the next day. They were learning to rely on their Lord alone, even for the food they ate. They were learning to look upon the ultimate source of blessings. They failed many times, but the more they recognized that they could do nothing in this journey, the more they were supposed to ask for God's grace upon them. The benediction was said in that situation. And we are in the same boat as the people of Israel. We had studied 1 Peter last week and this morning. The recipient of this letter were those who lived in a foreign land. I keep reminding you that you and I are living a pilgrim life in this world, until we get to our eternal Canaan. So it's important to know that we are people who need God's blessing, not only for our salvation, but also for our entire life in this world. Absolutely, without the Lord's blessings, we are nothing. We will remember God's name. By remembering his name, we see who he is and what his nature and attributes are. His name is God El, which means the mighty one or the powerful one. His name is God El Elohim, which means the most high or most exalted. His name is God El Shaddai, God the nourisher or provider. His name is Adonai God, Master and Lord, the Almighty Ruler and Covenant Keeper. He is Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord who provides. He is also Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who healed, and he is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. And his name is Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God and Son of Man. His name is Jesus Christ, who is Kyrios, my Lord. His name is Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Redeemer, and my God. God put his name upon you so we can move on. We can live with God as Christians. We can do our jobs as God's servants because of his name and his blessings. We can long for God's blessings in our life. In conclusion, let me bring a quotation from one pastor saying, "A name is a sign of the person bearing it. A designation referring to some characteristic in which a person reveals himself or herself and becomes knowable." I began today's sermon with 6 Johns. We cannot distinguish one from the other with the same first name, John. However, we can distinguish each of them from the world. They are holding their name as Christian, which is derived from Christ. They accomplished their ministry and lived as Christians in order to exalt God's name as people who hold his name. You receive the benediction. And God gives this great promise. "So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are our God, our Lord, our provider, our healer, our banner. You are our everything. Thank you for your blessings, that we are saved and we are sustained in this world to keep moving on until we see you face to face. We pray in Jesus' name.